The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
And now, broadcasting to your universe, it's the Drew Mariani Show.
The good news is right now, only 14 states are continuing to have widespread transmission of the H1N1 influenza.
I understand that the talks have been difficult. I know that our team, along with many others, are working hard and around the clock.
Christians are leaving the Holy Land. They're leaving the Arab world, leaving the Middle East. The total population now in the Holy Land is about 2%.
One of the most difficult decisions I have to make, as sheriff, is to suspend a search operation and transform into a recovery.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. I'm Drew Mariani. It's great to be with you today. Appreciate you joining us and allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Feel free to join the conversation. You can dial in here anytime you'd like, toll free at 877-ROME. 777. That's 877 ROME 777. Hey, coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be speaking with a man who has an amazing, amazing story. He was nearly killed. In fact, he should have been killed. How he survived, nobody knows. He was nearly cut in half by the axle of his truck, and he claims he was literally saved by two angels. He survived circumstances that even physicians today, they can't explain. He was featured in a magazine, came across a story. He's going to be featured on the 700 Club coming up. His ministry is just growing in leaps and bounds. And I'll tell you what, his story is absolutely amazing. We'll share that coming up with you in a few moments. Again, can you imagine being crushed by a logging truck, having your midsection squashed to the thickness of about an inch, 2 inches, having your vertebrae crushed, having arteries cut? He had an experience. He calls it an out-of-body experience. He was able to tell paramedics ultimately what doors they entered, what they were wearing, what they were saying, and he was unconscious. He didn't know what they, you know, what door they came out of, what vehicle. How did he know all of this? He apparently had claimed to have seen it all. But as he was pinned under the vehicle for some time, he had an experience of seeing angels, unbelievable encounter of how he saw this. And I'll tell you what they looked like and what they ultimately did. And of course, the miracles that followed what could have been an absolutely horrific tragedy. You know, quite often we don't recall our angels, but I think Christmas is a real time of miracles. I think as we approach this time of year, God, once again, reminds us of the fact that he's an intimate part of our life here. And throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, there have been many, many accounts, angel stories. In fact, as we celebrate Christmas, angels play a very significant role in that. And I want to talk maybe just a little bit about angels, if we could. They guard us. You know, they protect us. They're sent to guard members of our families. I think they give us information. I think many good thoughts may originate from them. You know, some of these uncanny intuitions that sometimes people have. When something suddenly comes to us, you know, when you just suddenly know something and it turns out to be true, it could be their subtle inspiration. It could be their whispering. They inform us. They guide us. They inform St. Joseph, right? And the Virgin Mary. They came to Mary. Gabriel came to Mary announcing the coming of Christ. When you're down, when you're ill, when you really need something, when you're trying to discern, my advice to you is ask for the intercession of your guardian angel and for angels in general. They, as we know, they've even ministered to Christ. Remember in the garden when he was suffering? You know, who? Of course, or when he was tested 40 days in the garden, or not in the garden, in the desert. We know the role of angels even in the life of Christ. They wait for our requests. And I think they're only too glad to help. So surround yourself with them. Ask for them before, you know, you take a trip. You know, if you're approaching a very difficult circumstance in your life, call upon their intercession. Seek them to guard you. Maybe ask them to intercede with people that you're having problems with. And if you have sorrow, maybe you lost a loved one, ask them to remove that sorrow. If you have fear, ask them to remove that fear. That they protect and they radiate. I believe that when we see a glow around someone, it's often because they're enveloped, I think, by their angels. It's angels who orchestrate many supernatural gifts when we're under attack. It's our angels who can chase off those attacks, those dark spirits. So call on them, okay? Pray for them to come. Ask their intercession. And, of course, I think you're going to see some incredible, incredible stories. And of course, we can share many of these, you know, with you. And I'll take some of your calls, too. We can certainly talk about your own encounters as well. There was one story I remember a guy sharing with me. He was working upstairs in his parents' home when he felt this unusual prompting to go downstairs. And as always, he took a new nap upstairs, but he kept getting up. He kept getting prompted. Something kept waking him up saying, go downstairs, take your nap, go downstairs. And finally he did. He got up, decided not to take that nap, and it was a good thing. Downstairs, a fire had erupted that probably, if he would have fallen asleep, would have suffocated him if he was sleeping upstairs. Again, coincidence? I don't think so. I think often we have a mission in life, and these guardians of ours are there to protect, guide, and inspire. The more we call on angels, I think the more that they're there. The more we pray, the more I think we empower them. And of course, we do all this in the name of Christ and with the help of our Blessed Mother, who is the Queen of Angels. In 1994, there was another interesting story. I remember a friend of mine sharing a story how he moved into a new house, and he had done something he never did. He planted a lawn, and he didn't even know how to run a lawnmower at the time. But with the help of his father-in-law, he went about what probably was a very daunting task. And at one point, he absentmindedly left the sprinkler on, so long that it had literally washed everything away. Well, someone shut off the hose, even though he was the only one at home. Hose was around back. Now, how do you explain that? I don't know. It could be just a story that he's telling. He credits his angels. In fact, he was writing a book at the time about angels. Good friend of mine. You know who told me that story? Michael Brown told me that story. Michael Brown, he wrote a book called The Trumpet of Gabriel. Great, great book on angels. He told me that story, and he's a man of great credibility. I have the utmost respect for him. He told me when the grass came up, he personally was astonished at how lush it was. He couldn't believe even the reaction to it. I mean, it had come up perfectly, and at one point a stranger passed by and stopped and gave him a big smile and he just said, hey, there was something about the stranger. He said, I could still see him. And scanning the lawn, he said, this must be because you're a Catholic author, the guy said to him. And he just moved into the neighborhood. And Mike says, hey, I don't think I even told my neighbors yet what I did for a living. Somehow this mysterious messenger, this individual, knew. Never got his name. He just stopped and pointedly admired the lawn and joked that, boy, he said, you must have used Miracle-Gro. So, who knows? I mean, actually, it was probably Angel-Gro, right? That's probably what it was. The man left, for the other end of the subdivision, and in the years that he lived there following, he never, ever saw that man again. So interesting. I mean, that's a small, subtle thing. And of course, it could be strictly a coincidence. There's no doubt about it. I mean, but I love that story. I thought it was an interesting, everyday, wonderful story. And I think that sometimes that's how angels work in our own lives. They come in subtle ways. Sometimes they come as mysterious messengers delivering us a powerful message or a warning. Other times, they come to protect and save us from car accidents or, life-threatening situations like you're going to hear about in just a moment here. And others, they're there to give us that inspiration. Let's not forget them. In fact, I think this is the season of angels. We remember them in October, but I think Scripture speaks very, very beautifully quite often at this time of year as we hear how the angels came to the shepherds to announce the coming of Christ. We remember the angels coming to the Virgin Mary and to Saint Joseph, not only announcing the birth of Christ, but the flight into Egypt. And of course, we know the important role that angels play both in the church as there are angels for each country and, of course, angels for each one of us. I got to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear a wonderful story of a man who, is a walking miracle. He should be dead when a logging truck crushed his waist to less than an inch, cut arteries, crushed his spine, and yet somehow, some way, he survived. And it seems that God's using him in a powerful way right now. You'll hear an amazing story. Stay with me. I'll be back with more.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. It's about 18 after the hour. I'm Drew Mariani. Good to be with you today. Christmas is a time of miracles. I believe that. I really, really do. And I know some of you can be really down. You can be really out. Your life could be spiraling out of control right now, and this is not a very happy time of year for you. I'll tell you, with God, nothing is impossible. Miracles can happen. In fact, in just a second, you're going to hear the story of a man who God showed just that. You know, in fact, if you go to relevantradio.com, Bruce Vanatta is my guest who's going to be joining me in just a few moments. And I'll tell you what, his story was posted in a publication called Guidepost, and we actually put a link up to Relevant Radio, keyword Drew. You'll find that link there. Read the story, share it with others at this Christmas. It's a great story. All right, let me just give you some background. If you're just joining us, Bruce has a very interesting story. He was a man who at one point in his life was kind of, he was wild. He was involved in heavy drinking and drugs and was away from God, but God touched him and brought him, began a journey back home. What happened one day, it wasn't too long ago, I think it was just a couple years ago, he was crushed by a logging truck. At the time, he was a self-employed mechanic. He was providing for his wife and his four children, and the truck he was working on, it fell off a jack, and it pinned him under the front axle. And it put this mechanic's life, put it in danger. I mean, he should be dead. He's a medical miracle. His midsection was squashed less than probably 2 inches, an inch and a half. He was pinned under the vehicle. And while pinned, he had an experience that would forever transform his life. He's now the author of a book called Saved by Angels. And he did this to share how God talks to everyday people. And the book's available at all major bookstores. He'll be featured on the 700 Club. You can check out his article at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Drew, as well. And it's a pleasure to welcome to the program Bruce Vanatta. And Bruce, welcome. Thank you for joining me today. You got a great story.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to share it.
And you're also the president of Sweetbread Ministries, aren't you?
Yes, which was a ministry that was founded as a direct result of this accident and what God did in it.
Hey, bring me back in time. I love these stories because I think, you know, in life, and I tell my listeners this quite often, I personally believe that we're all given a great mission by God. And apparently, the Lord had a great mission for you, and that's probably why you were saved in such a miraculous way, and you're perhaps fulfilling that mission right now. What happened? Remember, bring me back. You're a mechanic. You're working on a logging truck. That's a pretty heavy vehicle. Yeah. What happened?
November 16th, 2006, the day before deer hunting season here in Wisconsin. It was a Thursday night. Deer hunting season starts on Saturday. I was working, I typically work 10, 12, 14-hour days. I was the end of a 12-hour day. Finished up this particular project. I had started the engine. I had done an engine repair on this Peterbilt logging truck, and I was just wiping my tools off and putting them back in my service truck. I did on-site repair, so I work at other people's garages and on the side of the road and in fields and so forth, and I was just finishing up, and the man that I was working with, the driver of the truck, said, hey, I've got this leak that I've been looking for 6 months, 8 months. If you could just diagnose it, take a look, see if you can find it, maybe I can fix it myself. I thought to myself it was going to take me just a minute or two. I'd be able to pinpoint it, point to a gasket or seal, and help him out and be on my way. He had his light and his creeper laying underneath the front of his truck. Now, this is a conventional, a long-nosed Peterbilt. And so he had removed the passenger side front wheel, and he'd put just the jack itself was holding up this axle, and the passenger side front wheel was gone. So I went to slip wow. underneath the truck on a creeper, a roll-around thing that mechanics used, mm-hmm. and I told them, hey, just jump in there and check and see what the temperature is, and if it's up to like 160 degrees, shut it off, because if it hasn't leaked from what I had done, it's not going to leak. So he jumps up in the truck. At the same time, I slip underneath. Oh. I go feet first, my feet towards the back of the truck. I slip underneath the front bumper. And that axle is actually the lowest part that hangs down. It's the lowest part of the truck. It's going right across my midsection, just a few inches above it. He gets in the truck. The truck rocks. There was no jack stands. There was no blocks. The jack came shooting off from underneath the truck like a rocket. And this axle, which holds 10,000 to 12,000 pounds of weight, came down across my midsection and crushed me to the cement. And on my left side of my body, now if you can imagine, I'm laying on my back. I'm looking directly up at the running engine. I'm completely underneath the truck, and this 10,000, 12,000 pound weight comes across my midsection. It's only about 6 inches wide,
wow.
and it just crushes me flat. And my left side, the left side of my body was less than an inch thick, and the right side of my body was maybe two and a half inches thick across this 6-inch swath across my center. So
all those vital organs just being squished. Now your vertebrae were crushed in that too, right?
Two vertebrae. The width of that axle got broken. Yes, correct. Well,
first of all, it's a miracle. I don't know how you could breathe. First of all, second of all, I'm surprised you're not paralyzed today from an accident like that. So what happens? No, this guy was in the truck. This thing pops off. You're now pinned, and I'm sure you know the life is probably draining from your body at this point. Because you should not be able to survive something like this very long. What happened?
Well, he jumps down. He jacks the truck off of my body. I beg him. Now, there's a little bit of blood coming out of my mouth. My body, I kind of look like a cartoon character flattened out in the center. I mean, it looked just like you can imagine, just flat all the way across the center. And I'm begging him to get me out from underneath the truck because I was afraid that the truck was going to fall again because the spot he had jacked it up in was in a precarious spot. And I'm begging him to get me off from underneath, but he knew I had to have a back injury because he saw how flat I was crushed, so he wouldn't move me. So I reach back and I grab the front bumper, which is directly behind my head. I grab the front bumper and I pull myself out just far enough to where just my head was sticking off from underneath the truck. And at that point, I went unconscious. And that's the point the doctors say I should have died. I should have bled to death. What happened, because of my heart, your heart is on the left side of your body, and because that was crushed to less than an inch thick, I had major arteries and veins severed in 5 places, and they say with one artery you should bleed to death in like 8-10 minutes tops, and I had 5.
Oh my gosh.
And we found out later, actually, I found out when I submitted my story to the 700 Club, and they did their medical research on it, and they forwarded me a study that UCLA, the college out in California, had done, and they used 30 years worth of data collected from all the major trauma centers around the world, and they said it's 100% mortality rate for anybody with a midsection torso arteries being severed like I had, because they weren't pinched, they weren't torn, they were completely severed, and so it's 100% mortality rate. So the people there and others have told me that I'm the only person that they can find in the whole world that has ever lived from the injuries I had, just that part of my injuries alone. So the guy gets the truck jacked up off me. I'm begging him to get me out. I pull myself out. I go unconscious. The next thing I know, my spirit leaves my body at the point that they said I bought a ship. Blood to death. My spirit just leaves my body. Just what the Bible tells us, that we've got a spirit that's eternal, lives inside our flesh. And my spirit left the body and went up into the roof of the garage. And I was able to look down, and I watched everything transpire from that point on. And it was just, I can say, just total peace, just a total sense of peace and serenity. As I looked down, I was watching the accident scene. And to be quite honest, I didn't even realize that the guy laying on the truck was me. That's how disconnected I was from the situation.
So you saw, you had this kind of ceiling view now of your body. You look like a cartoon character because your waist is squashed down to less than an inch or so, and all those vital, you should be bleeding to death right now.
Internally,
What did you feel when you were out of there? You had shared with me, you and I had talked a little while ago, you said you could recount later what doors paramedics came in and what the conversation was.
Yep.
And now, again, you're unconscious, and you know you didn't know whether you got out of the passenger door or the driver's side door. I mean, that's kind of weird stuff. But
yeah, exactly.
What was it like? What were you feeling?
Well, it was just a sense of total peace, which is not exactly the way that they described it in the guidepost story, but the the actual factual way it was, mm-hmm. was just a total sense of complete peace. I looked down, I watched the people coming and going. Here's the great part. I mean, if you were to Google out of body or near death experience, mm-hmm. you'd find that, like, I don't know, 6 million, 8 million people mm-hmm. have claimed to have had one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty skeptical. Let's say that, you know, half of those people, 3/4 of people are either lying or kooky. That still means like 2 million people have had it.
Right.
And that's all this was an out of body experience. And as I was looking down, watching it all happen, the really awesome part, and hence the title of the book, Saved by Angels, on each side of my body was an angel. Now, just to backtrack a little bit, when that truck fell on me, there was no time for eloquent prayers. All I did was cry out, Lord, help me, twice. And when I mean Lord, I mean like Lord Jesus. I just cried out twice, Lord, help me. And so now my spirit is out of my body. I'm looking down, and on each side of my body, the man that I've been working with was on his knees above me, and he's like 6'1", 6'2". He's running his fingers through my hair. He's thinking I'm dead. He's crying. This was the first image burned in my mind before any volunteer firefighter or rescue team showed up. And on each side of him, on each side of me, was an angel, also on their knees, with their arms underneath the truck. At this point, my whole body's underneath the truck except for my head. Just my head is sticking out from the front bumper. But they had their arms underneath the truck angled in towards my body, and their head stuck up at least a couple feet higher than his head. So they had to be like 8 feet tall. They did not have wings. They had very broad, huge shoulders. I'm looking from my point of view in the ceiling. I'm looking down at their back. They were facing my body, and I was looking at their back from my point of view in the ceiling. I often joke and say they were special forces angels because they were so big, their bodies were so chiseled, their muscle. I mean, you could just, even from the distance I was in the ceiling, like say 15 feet, I can make up perfectly how big their shoulders were and their arms were and how chiseled they were. They had these robes, even the way the robes were knit together was unique. It looked like it was knit out of a small diameter rope. It did not look comfortable, but it looked very durable, almost like, you know, Kevlar bulletproof. Again, I joke, you know, like a mm-hmm. special forces angels. And they just had their hands on my body. One on each side, hands on my body. I didn't get to see their faces because I said I'm looking down from behind them, from above in the ceiling and from behind their back view. But they just had a wow. glow, like light bulbs. There was like a light shining off of each one of them.
My guest today is Bruce Vanetta. We will be back with the rest of his story right after this short break for some news. If you want to check out his story, go to relevantradio.com, keyword Drew. You can check out the guidepost story. I also have a link for his website there as well. Just click on his name. Bruce, of course, was a mechanic, got pinned by a logging truck, and should have died. He defied all explanation. We'll get the rest of the story right after this.
Life as you've never heard it. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, it's about 24 minutes before the hour. Great to be with you today. Again, I just got a call during the break, and someone else joining us on this trip to Fatima and, to France and to Italy. And if you want the phone number, let me give it out over the air. He called to get it. Again, first come, first serve, the end of the month. I think we're cutting this off. And again, we're keeping the trip relatively, it is going to be small, very intimate. We're going to be together for a long time. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Check it out. 1-800-515-2632. 1-800-515-2632. Get your info in and join us in April as we see the Shroud of Turin and, of course, see the beauty of France and Italy as well. More information at relevantradio.com. Keyword is Drew. On the left-hand side, you'll see the phone number and also the itinerary. Relevantradio.com. Keyword Drew. Or if you type in the word Shroud, it'll also bring you to information on the upcoming pilgrimage. All right. Hey, if you're just joining me, you're just getting out of work, maybe just turning me on, let me tell you something. You're in store for an unbelievable story. I was sharing today, I kind of had the vibe, I should talk about how nothing is impossible with God. I believe that. You know, so often we live in a culture today where, you know, science dictates everything, you know, where miracles no longer can possibly happen. There's got to be a logical explanation for these types of things. Christ multiplied food. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised from the dead. In fact, today we remember Lazarus. Is it possible that God works those same miracles today? Well, my guest, Bruce Vannatta, he says absolutely. He was a man. He was a mechanic who basically was working on a logging truck, a very, very heavy vehicle. I crawled under it, actually, you know, rolled under it, and the thing shot, you know, slipped off its jack. Jack went flying, and this vehicle came just literally slicing down on him. It squashed his entire midsection there to less than probably an inch, and it cut five main arteries. He should have been dead in minutes just from the internal bleeding. His spine was crushed. He should be paralyzed. He literally, after the vehicle was jacked up, he was still conscious, pulled himself out, passed out, only to have what he describes as an out-of-body experience. Instead of crossing to the other side, he remained very close to his body. He was very peaceful, very, very peaceful. Blood now draining from his mouth. You know, he saw what he described as two powerful, beautifully chiseled angels with their hands over his body. And Bruce, it's good to have you back here. I'll let you pick up the story there because, you know, as you were detailing that, my own thought was, okay, first of all, you should not live. You should not, you should have been paralyzed. This is an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Those angels, their hands on you, they must have been angels of healing. Maybe they were your guardian angels. I don't know what they were. They must have somehow preserved your life, because to have five main arteries cut and your body destroyed like that and to still remain alive, to me, is a miracle in and of itself. But bring us from that point in time. You saw you were unconscious, yet you knew what the paramedics were doing and how they came in.
Yeah.
You're having this out-of-body experience. What happened next?
Yeah, I'm just watching from above and watching the people coming in and out, listening to the conversations to a point that it wasn't even humanly possible. This is a large garage, and I could listen to conversations simultaneously around the place between people, know exactly what they were saying. It was something you couldn't do humanly at that point, but my spirit, that just tells me that our flesh is really holding our spirit back. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking down, the angels have got their hands on me. At that point, and the wrong door, this woman came through literally the wrong door. They had missed, what had happened was they had missed the driveway. They come in the secondary driveway, so she came in the back of the shop. She was a first responder. I watched her walk up the side of the truck. She got down on her knees. I remember she had red hair. She got down on her knees. She moved the one guy out of the way. She starts slapping me in the face, you know, gently, and saying, open your eyes. And I watched from above as she turned to the side and said, what's this guy's name? The guy I've been working with says, it's Bruce Vannatta. So she continues, Bruce Vannatta, open your eyes. Come on, Bruce Vannatta, open your eyes. And she's just tapping me, slapping me on the cheek lightly. And I'm watching from above, again, not even realizing that the guy leaning at the truck is myself.
Wow.
And next thing I knew, just like that, my spirit went from the ceiling and just instantly went back right into my body. And I'm looking at this woman eye to eye. And the first thing that hit me was this incredible pain. And I always joke and say it felt like a truck fell on me. You know, this incredible pain hits me, and then the next thing I realize is, oh boy, I'm the guy that's laying under the truck, and it starts to come back to me that, oh yeah, the truck fell on me, and I start to remember the whole thing, and I realize my spirit had just been up in the ceiling looking down, and I knew that's not a good thing, that's not a good sign, so I started to get scared, but I remembered those angels, and I looked on my left, and I looked on my right.
Wow.
But I couldn't see them with these fleshly eyes.
Wow.
You know, they were still there in the spirit, obviously, but I couldn't see them with my fleshly eyes. And so they ended up med-flighting me to the biggest trauma center here in the state of Wisconsin. The doctors helicopter lands on the roof. They wheel me in. They start doing CAT scans. And the two night shift guys that were working on me, I started to get upset because they started to have a disagreement, but I couldn't understand what the disagreement was. I come to find out later, they told me when I asked them, they were disagreeing because they couldn't understand how the CAT scan, the original first CAT scan they took, what it showed is that they said, quote, it was the CAT scans of a dead person. All my blood had drained out and was in my stomach cavity. And there's no way that my eyes should be open and my heart should be pounding, but yet my eyes were open and my heart was pounding.
Now, this is all documented. I just want to make sure. This is all medically documented.
Medically documented.
Wow.
Got all the doctor records for all of it.
That's incredible.
So they're trying to figure out what is going on and how could the CAT scan be deceiving them or lying to them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking it over. They ended up... They kept asking me, what's your name, what's your birth date, but I didn't have the energy. I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't say anything, even though my eyes were open. I couldn't respond. All of a sudden, it seemed like the lights, everything just started to get dim, and I knew that I was dying. And so I blurted out, if you don't do something right now, I'm going to die. Now, I'm looking at the one doctor when I said it. His eyes got huge because I hadn't said a word the whole time I'd been there. Right then, they said that that's when all these bells and whistles go off and my blood pressure dropped out of sight. My blood pressure was really, really, really low already, but it just like dropped to nothing at that point. They hit the eject button on the CAT scan machine and they rushed me over to the operating room, and I remember watching the green mask coming down on my face, and that's the last thing I remember. I was in a coma for weeks. They did three surgeries in that first like 3 weeks. I did three surgeries. The doctors told my wife when she got to the hospital they didn't expect me to live the next 6 hours, that she could just cross her fingers. All they did was hook up the main veins and arteries, and I had all this other damage, but they did nothing but hook up the main veins and arteries and fill me back up with blood again because they expected me to die. My wife said, no, I'm not going to cross my fingers. We're going to pray. And so people from my church started showing up at the hospital, which is 2 hours away from where we live, and they started praying every half an hour, and every half hour they praised the Lord that I was alive for another half hour, and they just kept doing that. And at 6 hours, the doctors didn't operate again. They said they still expected me to die, and then it was 8 hours, and then it was 10 hours, and finally they said, well, it looks like he's going to live, so we're going to go back in and start doing more operations. And then, like I said, that those operations, three operations over the first 3 weeks, came out of the coma. The very first thing I wanted to do was tell everybody about the angels, but I had this breathing tube in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I couldn't talk, so I wanted to write it down. I motioned for a pen and a paper. I tried to write something down, but I couldn't make myself write. It took me months before I could read or write again. But when they did finally get the breathing tube out and I could speak, that's the first thing I talked about was the angels.
My guest today, folks, Bruce Vannata. Stay with me. When we come back, we'll get the rest of his story. He's only going to be with me another segment. If you want to join us, we'll take some of your calls as well. You can dial in toll-free, 877-ROME, 777. Check out his website, sweetbreadministries.com. And, of course, there's information at relevantradio.com, keyword Drew, where you can read his whole story. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
Life as you've never heard it. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, 13 before the hour. Good afternoon, everyone. Hey, I want to say special thanks to Cassie Everts, producer who keeps the show running and on time. Tom Siskevich for the great work he does behind the scenes here. Josh, who's filling in for Charlie Woods today. Thank you, Josh, for the hard work. And for everyone here at Relevant Radio who doesn't always get the credit, although they play such a huge role in making Relevant Radio a reality to so many of you listeners. And thank you for your support out there. I know a lot of you, it's your support that brings programs like this one to you, where we're talking with Bruce Vannata. You can check him out at sweetbreadministries.com. He's the author of a book called Saved by Angels, to share how God talks to every day. Did I get the title, the subtitle right?
To share how God talks to everyday people.
To everyday people. I missed the word. There it is. It's on my rundown here. I don't have it. There you go. So it's Saved by Angels. Check it out. All major bookstores. Amazon.com is probably your best buy, folks. And I know you're going to be featured on the 700 Club coming up, and you've done a lot of media. His story is actually posted at relevantradio.com. The guidepost story is there. And you can check that out, as well as a link that will take you over to his website. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time in this segment, so let me just get back to the conclusion of your story. We've been talking throughout the day a little bit about how God works miracles in our lives. And I know that that's what happened to you. For those of you just tuning in, he got trapped under a logging truck. His body was almost severed. And through just a real miracle, ended up in a hospital. And the story doesn't end there. Go ahead, Bruce.
So I'm at the hospital. They're doing operations. By February of 07, which is 3-4 months after the accident, I had decreased in weight from like 185, 190 pounds at the time of the accident down to like 125 pounds. My intestines, my small intestines, all I had left was less than 3 feet of small intestine. An average adult has got like, say, 18 to 24 feet. And so I was down to less than 3 feet. At that point, they said that I had approximately maybe a year to live because I was basically starving to death. And a man from New York, just outside of New York City, that I had met one time on vacation, a man that goes to a church that one of my friends is a pastor at, the Lord woke him up 2 mornings in a row, said, buy a plane ticket, fly to Wisconsin, and pray for that guy.
Wow.
He was obedient. He did it, and he showed up at the hospital. He laid hands on me, which the church that I was going to, I wasn't familiar with that kind of thing, but he just prayed a simple prayer and said, God, I pray that you answer all the prayers of the people praying for Bruce around the country, because I was in prayer chains all over. And then he spoke to the intestine just the way Jesus taught us to speak to the mountain, and he said, small intestine, I command you to supernaturally grow in length right now in the name of Jesus. And when he did it, it felt like 220 volts came out of his hand into my body. My stomach started going up and down, and I turned to a guy that was on the other side of the bed, and I said, it just felt like a snake came uncoiled inside my stomach. And we've got doctor proof, doctor documentation that at that instant, a creative miracle happened where my small intestine went from less than 3 feet to between 9 and 11 feet. They can't say exactly for sure, but between 9 and 11 feet. So, it like, you know, what is that?
So again, just to put this in perspective, a lot of people are saying, this is not true. Come on, that's wacky. You've got doctors who said, okay, after removing this truck and getting you medevaced in, after the surgery, you had less than 3 feet of intestine. Yeah, this man prayed specifically for that, and now you've got 18, 19 feet of intestine. Your intestines were restored?
Yeah, I've got between 9 and 11.
9 and 11.
Between 9 and 11 feet. And they've got CAT scans that show it. It's not just the doctor opinions, but the CAT scans that prove it.
Dude, I love these stories. I got to tell you. You know why? Because this stuff says that nothing is impossible with God. We find this stuff so hard to accept today, because science has the answer to everything. And yet, you know, here's medical evidence that after prayer, there's miraculous regeneration of the intestine. I believe that. And you know, I know you've seen this in your own ministry, too.
Yes. See, that's the great part of this story, because that's just the beginning. That's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. So what happens is I get so excited, I start telling people churches. I quit becoming being a mechanic, and I go into this full-time ministry where I just go around literally place to place, church to church, schools, jails, wherever. I tell my story. You know, and I'm just an everyday guy, right? I mean, I'm just an everyday guy, and I just tell my story. I don't claim to know everything about the Bible. I don't claim to, you know, have all these great theological answers for questions. I just know what God has done in my life. I tell people what's happened, and then we invite people forward for prayer. We pray for people, and I can tell you, honestly, God's truth. We see miracles happen all the time. All the time. First week in September, my wife and I ended up giving money to have from our host, home equity, and we built an orphanage in Honduras. Like I said, this accident was totally life-changing. I mean, it changes all your priorities. So we give this money, and I want to go down and see the orphanage being built. While I was there, I got to minister five times. We got to see a paralyzed prostitute get healed on the spot and stand up. I mean, miracles like that. God is alive and well. He's doing miracles, and he wants to use everybody. It's not like there's any special thing about me. It's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as Christians. It's what the Bible tells us. 2 weeks ago in Minnesota, Gateway Christian Center in Northfield, Minnesota, we saw a man with a tumor like a size of a big gumball on his neck, prayed, touched it, and instantly when we touched that tumor, it instantly vanished. I mean, just instantly vanished. I'm just trying to think of just a few.
Well, Christ taught us we would do works like he did. He'd send the Holy Spirit after his ascension. That's what he told us, and that's what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a quick question. We only have about a minute left.
Yeah.
For those who are sick right now, who are really struggling, what's the one most important thing they can do to help bring about this type of healing? Do you think it's faith? Is it trust? What is it that so many people lack when it comes to seeing this type of stuff in their life?
I think there's two things. One thing is definitely Jesus over and over said, your faith has healed, your faith has made you well, over and over and over, right?
Yeah.
So that's key. I mean, the part of it is just believing that his promises are true. But the other part of it is knowing that we stand in a place of victory. Jesus died a horrible, miserable death on the cross, but he rose victoriously. He conquered sin, death, sickness, and the devil. And he says, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, that nothing would harm you. He tells us that in Luke, so that authority is ours, and so we're to pray with that authority. Instead of begging the Lord,
I love it.
We speak to the problem. We say, pain, amen. Go in the name of Jesus. Body be healed in the name of Jesus.
That's right. Faith and authority, ladies and gentlemen. I got to take a break. You got to check out Bruce's story. It's at relevantradio.com. Keyword Drew. His web information's there as well. And check out his book. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on the cutting edge of faith and life.
All right, three before the hour. Wow, what a story, huh?
I know some of you are skeptical. I know you guys.
You're with my brother-in-law, man. Some of you guys are, come on. You really believe that happened? Yeah, I believe that happened. What an amazing story. You know, it's easy. Why is it easy for us to believe that maybe somebody received sight or, you know, was healed by some great saint half of millennium ago, you know, or 2,000 years ago when Christ walked, or while the apostles were about their ministry? Why can't you believe that miracles can take place today? I do. And that's the beauty of Bruce Vanetta's story. It's a story of God's mercy. He begged the Lord for his mercy when this incident happened. And we saw the power of angels who are there to protect and guide and save us in times of danger and of real miracles. If you are in a tough situation, whether it's financial, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an addiction, whether it is a real physical or spiritual or emotional crisis you're dealing with, nothing is impossible with God. I want you to believe that today. I believe miracles happen. This is a time of miracles. Put your faith in God. Get right with confession, if you can, if you're Catholic. And in a special way, put your trust in God and do so with great authority. And I guarantee you, you'll see great things happening. Hey, stay with me. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about where your donations go. You come out of the malls. You ever do that? Throw some change into the Salvation Army bin. Feel kind of guilty if you don't, right? Well, you might be surprised where your donations go. And it's not just the Salvation Army. A lot of other groups. I'll get you plugged in when we return with my next guest, Douglas Scott. Plus, is it true that Pope Benedict XVI is going to declare John Paul II venerable this weekend? We'll get you up to speed on that and many more issues right after the news. Don't go anywhere.